everyone, this is Brenton Powers, wishing you a Merry Christmas. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Merry Christmas to all from the Dwell on Truth Show.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is flight 1080 live on KSCO. Our host is Dave Michaels, and I'm Brenton Powers, and we have another surprise guest. What do you think?
That was pretty good, Brenton. Do you have that echo effect on there?
I added it. Yeah,
that's cool. It sounds like you're singing from a well, and sounds cool. I like that. Almost sounded freestyle, like a freestyle rap.
Sounds like I'm in a cave.
Yeah, the Dave Cave, right? Yeah,
right.
So, who's our mystery guest, or does it remain a mystery?
People can guess. He's been on the show before. This is his second time on the Flight 1080 show. He's also been seen down at the beach preaching in the open air with me. Nice. And Dan Bodwin occasionally. So narrowing it down. Pastor in Capitola, the name of the church, Calvary Chapel, Capitola.
I like it. And where is this church?
On Capitola. You want to give the address, Pastor?
Yeah. Hi. It's 4575 Capitola Road in Capitola, right near the DMV of 46th and Capitola Road.
Okay.
Name that voice. I wonder if our listeners would recognize Pastor.
Can I play?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be fair, Brenton.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yeah, right. Let's do that, Brenton.
All right. My good friend, Pastor Dave Campbell, is with us,
Pastor
everybody.
Pastor Dave, welcome aboard, Pastor Dave.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, what are you teaching on this Sunday?
Well, I was praying about that, trying to figure that out. I think we're going with a Shepherd King message, and maybe going back to Micah, chapter 5, prophecy about the birth in Bethlehem. Yeah, speaking to the shepherd and the king, who Jesus is.
Right on. I went to Israel, and I got to be right outside Bethlehem, and so I was like, this is a great spot for a YouTube video. So it's up on Brenton Powers YouTube channel, reading Micah 5:2, this amazing prophecy. Out of you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who is a little city, out of you will come forth one whose goings forth are from everlasting. It's a very deep passage. It's like a puzzle, just like these paintings.
Yeah, it sounds very...
Who is the one whose goings forth are from everlasting? Usually we think about everlasting life, right? We can believe in Jesus, get saved, go to heaven, and have everlasting life without end. But this person, his origins are from everlasting past. He's eternal, and yet he's born in the little town of Bethlehem.
I don't want to go off on a tangent, but how close did you get to Bethlehem?
We were just up the hill from it.
It's going to sound like a weird question, Brent, but you weren't close enough to smell the city, were you?
On the top of the hill were a bunch of sheep and a shepherd, so that's what I smelled. And goats.
Now, people can tell you, oh, I went here and I went there, but they never tell you what the place smelled like. And that's such a big part of understanding, putting the story forward. Like if I said, I went to the farmer's market, and they said, what did you see? Oh, I just saw vegetables and people. Well, that's boring. There are smells, or there are people cooking things, and there's also the smells, pleasant odors. And
so you can imagine how it would have smelled. That's why two of the three gifts that the wise men, that the kings of the East brought to Jesus were, let's see if our callers know that one, because that's another Christmas riddle.
What is this called, Brenton? Some Christmas trivia? What are you going to call
this? Yeah, Christmas song riddles.
All right, let's kick this celebration off, because it is a celebration, dude. Every time you're here, we have fun. But today, especially this close to Christmas, there's a little more to celebrate. Yes?
It feels like we have an annual tradition. This is, I think, the fifth year that we've done a Christmas show together,
Yay.
Dave.
Good.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, fifth year. And
you wouldn't lie to me. Of course,
no,
I believe that.
I may be mistaken, but that's what I think it is.
Right.
some of you know, I'm an open air campaigner. I preach and I paint and we do winsome evangelism. I have this painting right here, but there's on the bottom right, there's a little burrito baby. Uh-huh. If you look at the painting, it's like a, you know how you when a baby's first born, they swaddle them up.
Oh yeah,
and
they're so
look
cute.
Like a little burrito.
Yeah.
And then there's a big question mark. And so this is called Christmas Song Riddle. So there's a baby and then there's a big question mark. Like, so what is the name of the song?
Who's the baby's daddy? Whose baby is that?
That's not the title of the song, but close.
I don't know. It reminds me of like a Jerry Springer episode, yeah. Brenton. Like they show a baby in question mark and I'm thinking, uh-huh. Oh boy, we need a DNA yeah. test to find out who the father. So who is it? What is it?
Well, that's what the song I just played actually by your request. Oh. What child is this?
Oh.
What child is this? And we have other slides on here. I'm going to quote the alphabet.
Okay.
And it's going to be missing a letter. And the top left has the big first place ribbon. So try to guess the name of this Christmas carol based on what letter is missing.
Okay. I got it. I'm ready.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Oh, should we take text messages about that? Or can I try?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Little Drummer Boy.
Nope. Ah! Nope. It's not that.
Well, what letter was it?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, M, N, O, P. I'll let the listeners call
in. All right, because some of them don't want to call in, Brenton. Yeah. Some of them are shy or whatever, so they can always just send a text message to 218-5726.
And this, honestly, this might be a song that half of the people out there have never heard of.
That's not fair.
Well, it's the next generation. They just have not been raised with a lot of the traditional Christmas carols that you and I grew up with. And so even when I tell the name of the song, the older people over probably 30 will know the song, most likely, if they're raised in any kind of, with any Christian tradition. It's a French word. There's another clue. The French word for Christmas, that's a huge clue. So this alphabet is missing a letter. So what letter did you not hear? And then it's first place. So those are all your clues I'm going to give. We'll come back later and see if any listeners got it.
Well, let's see if anybody wants to take a guess. They can call in right now and win the award of the smartest listener ever. That's the award.
They'll get first place, like right. This ribbon here on the painting.
Okay. Let's see what David has to say. He's calling from San Francisco. You're in the air, David.
Oh, Noel.
Yes, you got it, David.
So I ain't that smart.
Well, it's actually, you got the second word of the song. Add this to it. There's a first place ribbon before the Noel. It's missing the letter L, so you're correct on that, but you put the picture together. It's actually first place ribbon and then an alphabet that has no L.
You ain't going to be calling me smart, though. I got my reputation to live up to.
Okay. Thank you for the call, David.
We'll give you 60%, a passing grade. Should I give it away?
I heard that it was missing the L, right? I heard you say blah, 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 and I noticed that it was missing an L, and I thought, oh, it must be a song that begins with L. I didn't think there is no L. That's good, dude. I like that. Are they all that fun?
Yeah. The next one, right, should I go to the next one?
Okay, yeah, do it as an example. So Noel.
So, for example, it has the first place ribbon, so the song is The First Noel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's about. The next painting, I'll go on. It has a giant letter E on the left side and a snowman on the right side.
Okay.
And the E has some sort of snow or ice or something that's dripping down on it.
Right.
So what is the name of this Christmas carol? There's a giant E, and right next to that, there's a snowman.
Man, Brenton, I don't know. Dude, some Frosty the Snowman.
Yes. There's a Frost E and a snowman.
But that's green Frost, Brenton.
Well, this was taken under a black light, so it wasn't green originally. It's just my printer doesn't have fluorescent paint, so that's what happens. All right. Should we do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay, we got What Child Is This? The First Noel, Frosty the Snowman, and then this one is super easy. There's the word joy, and there's an arrow pointing down toward the earth.
That's so easy. That's so easy, Brent.
I wonder if our callers can get it. Well, call in, and we'll see if you can guess what song that is.
But we'll throw it out there anyways. All right, let's sing a song, Brenton.
That's just a clue. I'm not ready to sing another song. Do we have okay. We're live on the radio, right? You're just looking at me.
Paul in Watsonville, you're in the air. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get inundated. Joy to the World?
Yes, you got it. Great job. What gave it away?
How simple it was.
The word joy pointing at the world. Joy to the world.
Well, that and then your music.
Yeah, you played.
It was, you know, unless you've been in a cave somewhere, you know, it's like, we're not been in Christmas stuff anymore. You know, that's standard issue, I think, that I could ruin.
Now, I wonder how many people out there, and you could tell us your answer, did you grow up in a home that would start their Christmas with singing Christmas carols? My grandfather started with a song, Joy to the World. We couldn't open presents until he did that.
No, I think, what is that, that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? We've watched all that stuff on TV, so we were pretty commercialized, I guess, from that standpoint. But, you know, It was probably not our fault. They had subliminal messages that said, watch this show. But anyway.
Mm.
Well, thank you for the call, Paul, 479-1080. What did he win, Brenton?
He got second place, because our previous caller got first, so he got second place.
All right.
Did you guys grow up in families that sang Christmas carols?
No way.
No?
I didn't. No way.
Dave Campbell, no?
No, we did not. I mean, not at home before we opened the presents, no.
Hmm.
I don't even know any Christmas carols to this day. Not even one.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I know Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but those are not really Christmas carols, are they? Are they?
Usually Christmas carols are defined as a traditional song that celebrates the birth of Christ.
Yeah, so then no.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Jingle Bells is a Christmas carol. It's a Christmas song, sure. Yeah, Frosty the Snowman is a Christmas song. I'm not going to play that one, by the way, because it's not public domain, Frosty the Snowman. But
is it not?
It's not public domain. Wow. EMI owns it, so I didn't get permission to play that on the air. So we'll stick to the public domain songs.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Brenton. So
I've got more riddles we can go through.
So coming up on the other side, we have more exciting riddles. And what else do we have, Brenton? We're going to be talking about...
So what does radio and Christmas have in common? There's some significant historical things that happened on Christmas Eve when it comes to radio. We've got the three of us here, so that
really?
And much
Gosh,
more.
I feel like a total dodo head, not knowing the answer.
So what is the first live song ever played on radio? The first song ever played live on the radio. Not talking about pre-recorded, but in 1906, there was a famous father of radio broadcasted a very famous song, and I will play it later if a caller guesses or Googles it and tells us what it is. What was the first song ever to be played live on the radio? I'll play that tonight live.
Okay. All right, you're listening to AM 1080 KSEO.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and peace.
So you heard us. We have Christmas trivia.
Yes.
And what else do we have, Brenton?
Radio history. What does radio and Christmas have in common?
Well, I think these guys want to take a guess. What was the first song
performed live on radio?
It's a good question.
And it was, I'll give you a clue, it was on Christmas Eve.
Hmm.
The very first song was a Christmas carol.
All right. Let's see what Rich has to say. He's calling from Delray Oaks. You're in the air, Rich.
Hey, guys. A Holy Night?
That is correct.
Wow.
Can I ask you guys something about that? Because I was looking at the lyric today at lunchtime, and I kind of get confused. Silent Night and Holy Night, they're two different songs.
Yeah, Silent Night is a different song. Holy Night is another one. Fun fact about Silent Night is that it was played during a ceasefire. I don't have all my facts ready on this one, but they had some sort of ceasefire in World War II where they played Silent Night, and while they did that, no shooting.
I think that was World War I when both sides sang it to each other, and
I
they kind of crossed lines. But I'm looking at Oh Holy Night, and it's a controversial song, I guess, because the third paragraph in it, it says, chains shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name oppression shall cease. Mm-hmm. And I believe, like, there was a lot of churches that didn't want to play this song or recognize it down south, but maybe the pastor knows, or you guys know a little bit more about that history.
Interesting.
But I would say it's consistent with the scriptures, you know, the fact that in Galatians it says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And in the Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in the New Testament it says, if anyone's a slave and he can obtain their freedom, then do it. And so Jesus and the Christian message is one of freedom, that if some people didn't want to get with the message of freedom, then I wouldn't blame Jesus.
Thank you for the call, Rich. Are you going to sing any carols?
Can I do that one that he just guessed, Oh Holy Night?
So yeah,
this is the very first song that was ever played live on the radio in 1906.
Okay. All right.
By the father of radio, and he just played it on the violin. And he said, if you're hearing me out there were maritime boats and stuff. If you're hearing me, write me a letter and let me know that you're hearing me. And I'll play this again next week at the same time on New Year's Eve. So we knew that a week before is Christmas Eve. And you can find that clip on YouTube. It's available.
Cool.
But here's my version of Oh Holy Night. I'm no Celine Dion, so please forgive me.
Sorry.
I'm going to do it fast because it's kind of a slow song.
Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of my dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices. Oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born. Oh night divine, oh night, oh night divine.
And here's that verse he was referencing.
Taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise, we let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, then ever, ever raise we his power and glory evermore proclaim.
That's pretty good, Brenton, dude. That is impressive. I am totally impressed. That's you're a good singer, dude.
Thank you.
Obviously, there's always room for improvement, yeah, no matter who you are, but that's pretty darn good. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
I love that song because it was another one that my family used to sing. My grandfather was a pastor from the 40s. And this is a fun fact about radio and Christmas for me, very meaningful. Not only did he lead our family with that joy to the world, singing this song about, you know, long lay the world in sin and error pining, like pining away. The world is just wasting away. And then he appeared and our souls felt our worth. We were created in the image of God with worth. And he came to redeem us and to save us because he loves us. And my grandfather would read Luke 2. We're hopefully going to read that later today.
Okay.
And Matthew chapter 1, I believe, about the Christmas story. But my grandfather was actually, come to find out through some research and old family photos, His brothers started the very first commercial Christian station in the United States.
Wow.
Egan Hofer, KRDU, in Dinuba, California. And it reached from Fresno to Bakersfield to the Central Coast. So I have this heritage in my family.
Wow.
The president and station manager was my great uncle of the first Christian commercial station. And they're still on the air. KRDU is still going strong. Some, how many years later is it? From 1946, on Christmas week, they opened up that station.
That's very cool, Brenton.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, both of you guys?
Yeah.
This is kind of a suggestive question. Let me start off with Dave. Does Christmas feel the same as it always has, Dave? Or does Christmas seem to have been getting less and less Christmassy, maybe less and less relevant over the past few years to you? Or have you noticed that just in general, the sense of that Christmas spirit is just dwindling away? I don't want to say dying out, but it's not as significant as it was. It's just not there. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Obviously, it's a personal question.
Because
actually, for me personally, Christmas becomes more significant each and every year since I became a Christian. But I can see what you're saying as far as the world goes, but I think it's going the way of the world in general, the way the world is going. Christmas goes, you know, like so many other things, it's being threatened by culture. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Brenton, same question.
Well, ask me on Christmas Day. To me, it just kind of culminates. There's a building feeling in my family, at least.
I've noticed. I went shopping for Christmas, doing some Christmas shopping a couple days ago, and it just does not seem like Christmas. And I don't know why. I mean, other than the displays, and they have Santa, and they say, hey, buy some stuff. But it just doesn't seem like the Christmas spirit is there anymore, certainly not to the extent that it used to be. And I'm wondering if you guys have the secret. As I'm sitting here now, just as I pulled up and you know, started thinking about the show, and as the show started and I'm thinking all this stuff, why doesn't Christmas feel the same? And I'm thinking maybe it's because I don't put enough emphasis on Jesus. Jesus is part of it, right? So if you celebrate Christmas for the right reasons, the Christmas spirit, I don't think, will die out. I think as long as you're celebrating it for the right reason, I guess the spirit is... your answer is, Dave, is the one that I'm messing around with in my head as I'm sitting here. Maybe if the Christmas spirit isn't there, or you're looking for the Christmas spirit, you're not going to find it at the store. You're not going to find it with the Christmas hat, or even maybe not even caroling, but getting down to what Christmas is really about, and that's celebrating the birth of Jesus. Is that not what the celebration is about?
Yes, Christ,
and
Mass.
That will never get old, right? The toys and all that, those will all get old, and things change. I mean, what do you buy for your kids now? I mean, everything's all digital. Everything's on. What do you buy now? How do you celebrate Christmas? Well, you celebrate Christmas the way that they always have, by celebrating the birth of Jesus. So if you're looking for the Christmas spirit, if I'm looking for more of the Christmas spirit, maybe my focus needs to be a little more dialed in to the birth of Jesus. Yes?
Yeah, the true spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. That is 100% the essence of what Christmas is really all about.
And it's not the shopping, which is obvious, because if you go to the mall, there's nobody there. It's just not there. If that's where the Christmas spirit, I always used to love to go to the mall at Christmas time. It's beautiful. But everything's done online or on the app. You know, the kids, they don't want toys anymore. They want apps and things on their computer. And it's just not there. I mean, the shopping is spirit. That part of Christmas has changed, but the part that really matters has not changed.
I've wrestled this season with having the Christmas spirit. At one point earlier in the month, and I was like, I just want this month to be over.
Yeah, right?
Maybe someone out there can relate to that. It's like all these expectations. But what I came to was, whose birthday is it? And who is the one that we are grateful that came into the world? Of course, I know that Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. Sure. But that's the day when our world has decided to celebrate his birthday. And I think it's good to have a day of reminder of the awe that there was at that first birth of Jesus. It says that Mary's heart was filled with wonder. You know, the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The shepherds responded to that, and they came and they bowed down before baby Jesus, who's born King of the Jews. When a king is proclaimed and a baby is born, there's joy. And even if just a few people are there that recognize it and everybody else misses it, what matters is that core nuclear family, Mary, her husband Joseph, she was betrothed to, and baby Jesus, they were together. They didn't have much. They were in a stable. They laid him in a manger, which is a feeding trough filled with hay, and they swaddled him up like a little burrito baby, swaddled in cloth. But the love was there. Love appeared in the flesh that day. There's not a lot about Christmas in all four Gospels. Luke gives gives us the most. Matthew gives us probably second most. John gives us one verse. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the Logos, became a human being. The one who was God in eternity humbled himself to be found in the form of a man, and he dwelt among us. He chose to be with humanity. That's the awe and wonder I'll never cease to have. Why would a holy God choose to come down to a sinful world that had already had thousands of years of history of rejecting him and failing to keep his law? Well, it's because God is love, and he appeared in human form so we may know what he looks like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's this great revelation of who God is.
How long after his birth did it take for people to recognize that this baby was different? This man, this human was different than everybody else?
Good question. There were, and I'll let Pastor Dave speak into that too. It took a while, and some people didn't even fully grasp it until his own disciples didn't even fully grasp it, I think, until the resurrection after his whole life and ministry on earth was done. Even after he ascended to heaven, they were still learning things about God's heart for the nations. But Mary had some revelation from the angel about who he was, but it seemed like at times she forgot, because at one point she thought that Jesus was crazy, and as he's teaching in some tent, she sends a messenger into the tent as an adult 31 or 32 year old man, thinking that he's crazy, and says, hey, tell Jesus that his mother and brothers are outside and we need to talk to him, because they didn't believe in him at that point. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? And he pointed at his disciples. He said, those who do the will of God are my mothers and my brothers. They're the Christian church, believers in Jesus. We become immediate family. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. So, but they still didn't get it until his own brothers didn't believe, probably until the resurrection. James and Jude then became writers of the New Testament. Books of James and Jude were written by Jesus's half-brothers, sons of Joseph and Mary. They finally fully recognized who he was. But in his life, John chapter 7 says even his own brothers didn't believe in him.
So he couldn't have had any full-blooded siblings, right? Because half of his is from up there.
Yeah, he's the son of God. Mary was fully his mother. So his human nature came from Mary, his divine nature. Well, he's God. He was always God. He didn't change that, but he found himself in the form of a human via the virgin birth, which is a sign that we should really consider. God proved who he was by predicting it hundreds of years before. Isaiah 7, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Behold, I give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Maybe Dave had more answer to that. That was a good question. Like, how long did it take them to realize? Like, who really realized who Jesus was? Did anyone realize in his childhood?
There's a story in the Bible where the family had gone to Jerusalem for a feast, as a lot of families did. They would pilgrimage to Jerusalem for feasts, and they were traveling back as a group of people back to their hometown, and they realized they didn't have Jesus. Somewhere on the journey, they realized that they didn't have him, so they went back to Jerusalem to go look for him, and they found him in the temple. So he was about 12, right, Brenton? Mm-hmm. About 12 years old. They found him in the temple, kind of expounding the scriptures as a 12-year-old with some very learned, like very educated people there. And they were amazed at the wisdom that he had, you know, only at the age of 12. So little indication, but we don't really have in the Bible. There's no recording of his childhood really other than his birth. And then there at about 12 years old. But then like Brenton said, it wouldn't be until after his death really that really people did, wow, you know, kind of grasp.
So from the time that he was, his childhood is missing, from the time that he was a toddler, do we know?
Probably the whole story of the wise men. When Herod says, at what point did this star appear to you? They said it was 2 years ago. And then, so that's why Herod said, I'm going to go in and slaughter all the babies that are under 2 years old.
Got it.
So probably the time that the wise men came to baby Jesus, he was already a toddler by then. But God warned Joseph at that time to flee to Egypt. And, you know, he didn't learn from the Egyptians, their magic arts or anything, as some people try to plug in the gaps of Jesus's story. He was only there for protection until Herod died, and then he was raised in Nazareth, which fulfills scripture as well. And so that's why every year they would go from Nazareth to Jerusalem to fulfill their obligation of going to the feasts, and that's the story Dave told when he was 12. Other than that, we don't really know much. Other than being the son of a carpenter, he probably worked with either wood or masonry at that time and built with Joseph, adoptive father Joseph. Mm-hmm. So he was a woodworker. He worked with his hands. He's a man's man. And then he isn't revealed until his baptism to John when he was about 30 years old.
Yeah, I just want to add. So, and then when he did start his public ministry as a preacher, preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom, and he started performing all kinds of miracles, healing people miraculously, like thousands of people he healed in his public ministry. So clearly people saw something very special in him about that, you know, in mm-hmm. that. But to really know after his death and resurrection, that was when it really hit even his own family, his mother, his brothers, sisters. He had sisters too, half sisters, like you said.
I'm wondering if that question, we could also reflect on our own lives. Was there a time where we knew nothing about Jesus, and then we started to learn more, and God started revealing to us and even drawing us in with some curiosity, you know, maybe using the lack of the Christmas spirit to make us stop and think. Maybe someone out there today is thinking, why do we even want to live until Christmas Day? Like, it's so painful. But we want to remember that Jesus was born so that he could die for us.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
Yeah, Brenton. Dude, you're really good, Brenton, and I like that you're just kind of going for it.
Yeah.
You're not holding it back. You're just going for it.
I hope it wasn't distorting there. I'm really singing with all my heart.
That first note was a little...
Yeah, I missed the key.
Got a little wobbly, but that's all right.
I could laugh at myself. Oops, sure. I messed up. It's live radio. What do you want?
If that's the worst thing to happen, then you'll be a lucky guy.
I had a lot of fun. A couple weeks ago, I went to Seacliff Beach, brought my guitar, and as people were walking by on the sidewalk, I said, hey, what's your favorite Christmas carol? They'd shout something out, and I start playing it. And it was real engaging, and they said, thank you. And some people are like, I don't know, can't think of one. So Silent Night was a top request. The one I played earlier, Oh Holy Night, was a big request as well. Someone mentioned some other songs that I had never heard of. Look that up. That was pretty cool. And we got to spread joy to the world. We have reason to rejoice. Jesus is alive.
What are we going to talk about next?
Can we invite people to church? I mean, Christmas Eve is Sunday.
Of course, that's what we're doing.
So I would love to invite people to Pastor Dave Campbell's church. He's right here in studio, kind of quiet today, but God has placed a message on his heart. He's going to deliver it this Sunday at Calvary Chapel. Your services are at 10 o'clock?
10 a.m. on Sunday.
Yep. And they've got a full band, drums, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, male, female singers.
And this is close to the DMV, yes, in Capitola?
Yeah.
How close is it?
A couple blocks down. So we're at 46 in Capitola Road. So if you think 41st, if you pass the DMV on your right, we're just about a block or so down, a couple blocks, I guess.
So the DMV.
Going into Capitola.
Going
toward the village. So going toward the ocean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Before you head down the hill, right on your left.
Okay.
And if you know where the AAA office is, we're basically right across the street from AAA. Yeah. Right there at that intersection that nobody stops at.
Please stop at the intersection.
Yes. Make complete stops. Yes. All right, good. So you have a service coming up this Sunday. Capitola Calvary?
Calvary Chapel, Capitola, yep.
Okay. 10 o'clock. Okay, good.
And I will be at Calvary Monterey at 10 a.m. I'm not participating in, like, on the stage or speaking or anything, but I'll be singing along with everyone else. That's my home church. And then in the evening, 6 p.m., Cypress Church is having a candlelight service. I think your Sunday morning service is candlelight too, right?
Yep. We're going to do a candlelight service at 10 o'clock in the morning. It gets pretty dark in there when the lights are off. So
really special.
Nice. That's cool.
It's really special. So candlelight service at Cypress Church, 6 p.m. I'll be running sound. So if you want to come up and meet me in the sound booth, I'll be upstairs. Dave, you've been there. You want to come again or you can come to Capitola? Or?
I can't lie to you, Brenton. I was going to say, I'm actually going to be in Disneyland, but I can't lie to you. No, I don't know if I'm going to make it out there, but I'm coming back from Disneyland Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Christmas Eve, Sunday morning. It's totally up to you. But if you want to experience a Christmas spirit in a group of people that love Jesus.
We had a great time out there, by the way, last time. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, Brenton. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about next, Brenton?
Well, we were talking during the break about how I can't change anybody's heart. I can't, and I'm not going to try and shove anything down anyone's throat. But one of the things I find the most effective way of sharing the Christmas story is just go straight to the source. The Bible, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all those four accounts of Jesus's life are beautiful. So just simply reading it, and we don't have to, you know, monologue about it, but it'd be nice to dialogue and get people's questions about the Bible. If it doesn't make sense, you know, there's a part of the Bible where it says, there was a skeptic reading the Bible. He said, how can I understand it unless someone explains it to me?
Yeah.
So we got...
Totally. If anybody out there is listening, and let's just say they do have a Bible and they... What are you about to read to us, Brenton?
So I'm just starting in the beginning of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. Mm-hmm. So it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Matthew gives us Joseph's perspective. Luke gives us Mary's perspective. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Sidebar, the name Jesus comes from the Hebrew Yahshua, or Joshua. Yah, contraction of the name of God, Yahweh, and Shua means salvation. So Yahweh saves is literally what Jesus' name means. That's why you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. And then the visit of the wise men. I'll stop there for commentary, questions, calls.
I was kind of stuck on how you were talking about the genealogy
in
the beginning of the Bible. And that's, you know, when I first tried to read the Bible, Brenton, I was a kid when I first tried to read the Bible. And I got to that part and I thought, this is just a waste of time. Holy smokes. But now as an adult, I think a little bit differently about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think, you know, when people say, when people question the veracity or the truth of the Bible, and they say, well, there are no historic documents, there's no documentation that Jesus existed. That is a very thorough documentation.
Yes, and the most scrutinized one.
It's incredibly, forgive me for saying, it's incredibly boring, but it's there. I mean, if you want to research it, you can research it, and it is a very much a documentation of, I mean, it's as close to proof as you can get that he existed. And his bloodline. I mean, that's as close as you can get through. I mean, what do you want? Do you want a picture? I mean, what do you want? Here it is in writing.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it a little bit differently. Now, I still don't think it's exciting, but I can appreciate why it's there. And I find it, you know, I know why it's there. It's proof. Mm-hmm. I mean, as good as proof can get in the written form.
Yeah.
Right?
If you accept any history, the biblical history has been the most scrutinized. You should accept. What else do you want? You want a book written by Jesus? He didn't write any books.
Yeah, do you want an autographed picture of him? Yeah. I mean, what do you want? It's right there. That's as good as you're going to get, really.
That's the objective evidence for it. I think there's subjective evidence. You know, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of God. He bears witness to our souls, and he does the convincing and convicting, showing us how much we need Jesus. So I think it takes both the empirical evidence And there is a step of faith where we have to believe based on the wooings. The Holy Spirit woos us. He draws us. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him or unless the Holy Spirit draws him. But when he draws, it's unmistakable. And I hope more people have that experience. I had that experience when I was 17. It wasn't just truth that I needed. I needed to also see his love, the evidence of his love. It changed people's lives in order for me to believe that my life could change. So I didn't think it could change. I grew up here in Santa Cruz, and the only people that ever shared the good news about Jesus with me were like 85-year-old neighbors across the street. Right. And my whole upbringing, no one ever handed me a gospel tract or a Bible or talked to me on the streets about Jesus. When we were kids, I played out on the streets and rode bikes and skateboards and rollerblades, and I didn't come across anyone preaching the gospel. That's why I do this regularly now. Capitola Beach, Monterey Wharf, a church that we love, Regeneration Church in Scotts Valley, came down last Friday to Pacific Avenue, and they sang Christmas carols. They handed out jackets and socks, and nice. I don't know if they had hot coffee or cocoa or something like that, and a sign saying, can we pray for you? Very non-in-your-face, not there to argue with people, but they were just out in the community sharing the love, and I think the world needs that.
What good does it do to pray for somebody who is a sinner anyways, and why pray for this guy? He's a total loser. Brenton or Dave?
Well, God hears our prayers. We can pray that God would intervene into those people's lives, and he does. You know, whether they accept that or not is up to them, but we can pray for the protection, the provision, for God's Holy Spirit to speak into their hearts, to hear his voice. Yeah, prayer does a whole lot of good.
Yeah.
Do you think if you were to put a scale, a double balancing beam, and you put over here people who are religious, and what percentage of believers in Jesus and Christianity are optimistic versus pessimistic? I mean, how many people out there really believe in God and say, man, nothing good ever happens to me. This sucks. This whole day, this just totally sucks. Everything, you suck. That car sucks. Your car sucks. Everything sucks. How many believers out there are like that? Or do they usually tend to be pretty optimistic? Because like you said, Dave, Jesus will interact or God will interact if you recognize it. Yeah. He's doing it all the time, but do you recognize it? Do you have to be an optimist to recognize it? Would a pessimist recognize it? It seems like they wouldn't.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be an optimist. I think sometimes it just boils down to temperament, whether someone's optimistic or pessimistic. And we could kind of go in a downward spiral with our personality characteristics. I can be like that too. But that's why we need each other. That's why we gather together. That's why the Bible says encourage one another daily, because it's not just something that's innate within us because of our personality. And even if it is, like my parents, they were not religious, but they raised me with a positive mental attitude, PMA. And that gets you so far, but when you face the realities of life, you realize you need more than just willpower.
You know, something I wanted to do, maybe you guys would be able to help me out with this, you and Dave here. I wanted to, Dave, come up with this. I had this idea to come up with, I want to do something that inspires people. That's part of why I have Brenton here, and I love to have him here. I want people to be inspired by hopefully something he says. I just want to inspire people with positivity. So I was thinking, you know, we don't say enough, there's not enough positive affirmation out there. So I was thinking about coming up with positive sayings for my audience, right? So let me run these by you. Let me run this by you, Dave. How about this for inspiring? You're not so stupid after all. Is that good? Yeah?
Yeah, you might want to work on that one a little bit.
It's like a backhanded compliment. You're smarter than you look.
Now you got it. See, you are the right guys. Yes, yes. That's something inspiring and something, you know. Yeah, well, I'll work on that. Let's get out to the phone lines, 479-1080. You are in the air, caller that ends in 1-7.
Yeah, it's Fireball. And I want to ask Brenton, is Jesus the last descendant of Abraham, the Alpha and the Omega? And also, did Mary possibly go on to have other children in the future?
No, Jesus is not the last descendant of Abraham. There's still descendants of Abraham today. Both the Jews and the Arabs came from Abraham. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He takes that title on himself in the book of Revelation. Incidentally, God the Father calls himself the Alpha and Omega. So if you ever argue with a Jehovah's Witness, side point, take him to the two scriptures where Jehovah says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet, and Jesus says it. So Jesus is God. That's the only way to reconcile that. What was the other question?
Did Mary possibly go on to have other children in the future?
She did, according to when Jesus went back to Nazareth, preached in the synagogue, and they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, the brother of James, Jude, and list some other names of Jesus's brothers?" And as I told earlier, when he was an adult, his brothers were outside the place where he was preaching, thinking he was crazy. So he had other brothers and sisters.
Are they the ones, Jude and James, that are in the New Testament?
They are the ones that wrote the book of James and Jude.
Those are his brothers. All right. Yes. I wasn't fully aware of that. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Very good. Good questions, Randall. Thank you for the call.
Of course, the Catholic Church doesn't teach that they're Mary's descendants. They think maybe Joseph had a previous wife, and when he married Mary, they think she stayed a virgin perpetually, which doesn't... I read a scripture from Matthew where it says that Joseph did not know her until after Jesus' birth. They consummated the marriage. She was not a virgin perpetually like the Catholic Church teaches.
So did not know her until after the birth, meaning that they had
laid down
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if Jesus had been born under different circumstances?
Then the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. It wouldn't have been the Messiah. It had to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem.
Are you telling me had Jesus been born in a different town, he would not have been Jesus?
Yep, exactly. Prophecy has to be 100% accurate for it to come to pass, God.
Let me ask you this. Who cares about prophecy? If that's Jesus, that's Jesus. The prophecy might be wrong. Maybe.
Right. Because there's false prophets and there's true prophets.
Right. So if the prophecy says, well, Jesus has to be born in a small town, he's going to come in on a donkey, but he's not, and let's say he's born in a different town to very wealthy parents, but he is the Son of God.
Well, then you end up with a contradiction. Does God speak? If God speaks through the prophets, and that's what the proposition was, since the people of Israel wanted God to speak through a prophet rather than directly, because it freaked them out when they heard God's voice on Mount Sinai thundering the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, we don't want to hear this voice anymore. Moses, let him speak to you or some other prophet. And Moses said, fine, God's going to speak to you now through the prophets. So the question is, how do you know who is a prophet that is really speaking from God and who's just making it up? Well, God gave a test. If they predict something and it doesn't come to pass, you shall know that that's not a prophet that I sent. They're just speaking presumptuously. If you don't believe that prophet who falsely prophesied, you don't have to be afraid. They're not speaking from God. But true prophets speak from God, and that's why their prophecies get fulfilled.
So who prophesied that Jesus was going to be born under those circumstances?
Micah, for example, 5:2.
He was the only one?
Isaiah. You can look at the Dead Sea Scrolls and see Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 7.
Did they get their information from the same source, or were they two different prophets that...
They were two different prophets that lived at different times, both in the land of Israel.
So who prophesied first?
The same source. I think Isaiah came before Micah.
Couldn't the other one, Micah, couldn't he have just have copied the other guy and said, yeah, this is a prophecy and I think it's right?
He added information that Isaiah didn't give us.
Okay.
Isaiah didn't tell us Bethlehem. That's unique to Micah.
Do you have any idea how many prophecies were predicted versus, because obviously one came true.
Yeah.
But had there been 300, had there been 1,000 prophecies? How many? Had to be a bunch of fake prophets. I know there was because it's in the Bible, yes.
You actually came really close when you said 300. It was a little over 300 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus in his coming into this world.
Yeah.
Out of how many prophecies?
Well, those are the ones given to us. Like, he fulfilled every biblical prophecy. He fulfilled every one of them.
Yeah.
There's still some that need to come to pass that he will fulfill in his second coming. But the ones, there's over 300 that he fulfilled when he first came, in his first coming.
I've seen a list and checked out one by one the 300 different prophecies that Jesus did fulfill. And that's one of a strong apologetic or defense of the Christian faith. God says, you'll know that I'm God because I tell you beforehand, so that when it comes to pass, you'll know that I am God.
Well, you know, with all due respect, that the idea that 300 prophecies were fulfilled, that's not very impressive. I mean, I could say 300 things. I could write 10,000 things about you, Brenton, and 300 of them would probably be true. So that's not really, to me, that's not really impressive. And remember, I'm not a believer in God. I'm still, looking on that side of the river.
Yeah.
But that, to me, would not serve as evidence.
Well, I just wanted to say that the virgin birth was pretty impressive. Yeah. Whether, you know, some people
but don't. He didn't fulfill that, right? I mean, that, well, I guess he is God, so yeah, he fulfilled
that. He didn't manipulate that. If he was just a man and not the Son of God, then how would you explain that?
Yeah, but again, to me, I find it extremely hard to believe that he was put inside of Mary, and you know, she was a virgin, and it was just a miraculous conception. Is that a term used?
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to believe in the miraculous conception.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know, well, look, he was born to a virgin, it's proof. Well, I don't know that she's a virgin, and I don't believe that.
That's fine. Joseph had his doubts, too.
I would be more impressed by watching him walk on water or turn, you know, a basket of into what. That's impressive. That is miraculous. That is something that I can see. But as far as that, I mean, I didn't see, you know, how that conception happened. But those other things, yes, that would be impressive.
Well, some of the prophecy about the Messiah that we believe Jesus fulfilled were some of the things you're talking about. Opening the eyes of the blind, healing.
Right, yeah. That sickness, that kind of stuff.
Cleansing lepers.
His birth. Yeah, I don't know. But those that you were talking about, you just mentioned, yes, those are impressive, and that's very hard to explain.
Yeah. Well, I think it all adds up. I'll send you the list, the 300-plus prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. If it was just one or two things, and it could be, you know, it had some other explanation, I could see that
it's a percentage thing.
That it's a reasonable doubt.
It's a percentage thing. So if 300 things came true out of 12,000 that were predicted, then that's not, it's a percentage thing.
That may be Nostradamus's batting average.
There you go. Something like that. Now, so people would say, you know, Nostradamus predicted 300 things that came true. Yeah. Oh my God, he must be. No.
The Simpsons
dude.
He predicted
thousands and thousands of things that didn't come true. No.
Here's the difference. The Bible is 100% accurate in the things that it predicted that have come to pass so far, that the other prophecies that are about the future, we can have assurance that those are going to be fulfilled. 300 are fulfilled out of 300. That's 100%.
Well, Brenton, we have about 6 or 7 minutes, dude. What are we going to talk about now? Let's go out with a bang, yes?
All right. We've been waiting on pins and needles to read from Luke chapter 2.
Okay, let's do it.
Pastor Dave and I, how about if we take turns?
You guys do it. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Starting in verse 1, right?
Sure.
Hey, and by the way, if anybody's familiar with the Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus, as they're doing their little Christmas play in a Charlie Brown Christmas, recites from Luke 2.
Yes.
He actually recites it.
Oh, wow.
So pretty awesome. He brings the gospel in Charlie Brown Christmas. Here we go. So Luke 2, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Is that okay?
Right. Sure. I got ESV.
Okay. All right. So Luke 2, verse 1, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. That was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to the firstborn son, to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them.
And in the same, this is starting now in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Amen. So that's directly from the Bible. Did you guys get anything, any goosebumps, any feelings?
I am.
The feels?
We got 2 minutes left here, Brenton. Yeah. Did you finish it?
Yeah. Well, and then it goes on to talk about his circumcision, but you don't want to read about that.
We don't want to read about that. So with the last minute and a half or so, let's remind people what's happening this weekend.
Yes. So this Sunday, I encourage you to go to a local Bible teaching church. I'm partial to Calvary Chapels because they teach verse by verse, line by line, chapter by chapter. But there may be a special topical message based on one of the Christmas passages. And we want to end with a note of hope that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's a trustworthy statement that if you realize you've sinned, you've broken God's law, lying, stealing, cheating, hating, not loving God and not loving people, we've missed the mark. But Jesus Christ came into the world to live the sinless life under the law we couldn't live. And then he died the death that we deserve to die. And on the third day, he rose again from the grave and said, "Whoever believes in me will be saved." So if you turn and trust in Christ today, you can know that you have eternal life and receive the Christmas spirit, the Holy Spirit. Christ can come into your life and change your life forever.
Dave, you have any parting words with the last 40 seconds we have here?
I just want to say thank you, Dave. You mentioned earlier about wanting to do something inspiring for people. I think allowing us to be here and giving us this platform, this open door to preach the gospel is exactly that thing. So thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome, dude. It is my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. And hopefully, again, I just want people to be inspired.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm working on new slogans. I'm going to work on those slogans. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a slogan. The name of my radio show, Dwell on Truth.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. That's going to wrap it up. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hey, everyone. This is Brenton Powers wishing you a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all from the Dwell on Truth show.